2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, what is real? Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, Lord. I pray that you'll help me to teach what it is that you want to say to us today. Holy Spirit, give us a quickened spirit to hear and understand and receive it, God, to put it into action as we live our lives in this world. God, let it make a difference. I pray, God, that your word will always, as it says, not return void, but will accomplish that for which you sent it forth to do. That's our desire today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this kind of ties into last week. I've been on this thing with, you know, the news lately has been about all the developments in artificial intelligence and stuff, and I know that I'm probably one of the few people that really pays attention to that kind of stuff here, but it gets me thinking where we're headed as a people. And so this is kind of a compendium to last week, I guess, as well. And I went home last, I went home last week really kicking myself. Nobody has to tell me if I, you know, when people say, well, you know, oh, that was a good sermon, Randy, or you stunk, Randy, or whatever, it doesn't really matter to me because I know how I did, because I know what it was that I felt I was supposed to communicate, and I know when I'm done whether I did a good job communicating it or not. And I knew that last week I went home upset with myself because I had not done a clear job of communicating what I wanted to communicate. So I asked somebody, I said, just as a test, I said, can you tell me what my sermon was about? And they went, and I said, okay, you answer my question. You know, it really was simple, and I made it way too confused, I think. Just the whole idea that men are not angels, whether it's the 1700s or whether it's modern today or whether it's in the future, we're all fallen people, right? Our hearts are deceitful above all, and who can understand them? And we have to be a moral and a God-believing, God-trusting people, to the people around us, the world around us, and, you know, because power and all the stuff that is out there in order is going to end up corrupting us. And if we don't do that, we're going to be in trouble. It doesn't really matter about where we're at in history. Nothing changes. People are not angels. And we have to remember that and govern ourselves accordingly. That was really all I was trying to communicate. But along that idea, that line, I talked last week about some of the new quantum computer chips and where it's, how this is going to play in with computing and artificial intelligence and all that. But it also, there's along with a lot of developments, what really concerns me, not just the artificial intelligence, but virtual reality is becoming more and more, I mean, I hate to say, I use the word real, I guess, but it's not, it's becoming more sophisticated and more people are going to engage with it. As artificial intelligence develops, and, you know, I don't know how true this is. I'm going to do everything I can to not engage with artificial intelligence, although I know people personally in, you know, in my own life very close to me that are already using it. But you combine it with the developments in virtual reality, and it's they'd say you're not going to be able to help but interact with it. In fact, you're going to have to at some point, or it's going to be, it's kind of where, I don't know that it, you know, so to speak, that it's the mark of the beast, but it's going to be hard to function in the world around us if you don't engage with this technology, because everything that you do, you know, buy, sell, and trade, and the Bible talks about, you know, you won't be able to if you don't have the mark of the beast. And that, I'm not saying that this is, maybe, I don't know, but everything is going to be driven by it. Everything is going to be controlled by it. And if you don't engage with it, you're going to have a hard time, you know, living in this world. And you combine with it the developments in virtual reality, which our five senses more and more and more will tell us are real, even though it's not real. It's concerning, and that's where I'm kind of tying these two together. So the idea is, what is real? And I think even without technology, we already have a hard time as human beings discerning what is real based on what God says is real. And these are the kind of things, of course, that I'm talking about to you guys all the time, is why I'm always mentioning it, like I said, but I don't know if I've ever done a sermon on it, so here we go. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Well, I'm fixing my eyes on you guys right now. I can see you. But God says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. That's where God wants us to put our focus. That's going to be a challenge, amen? Because our eyes are right here, and this is what we see all the time. In fact, God created us so that our eyes take in this information, the nerves send it to our brain, and our brain interprets it as what I see. God created me for that. It's hard to do that. That's why I'm always saying, you have to be proactive about these things. You have to be specifically making an effort to say, okay, I live in this world and here it is and my five senses are telling me it's real, but my focus, I need to live in this world and function in it, but at the same time, I need to keep my focus on God. I need to keep my focus on the spiritual realm and always remember that He's the one who's really in control. Even though all this world is giving me input and is affecting my life, I still have to remember that above all of that is God. My focus needs to be on the invisible, on the unseen. Now, if you did not have 2 Corinthians 4:18 in front of you, and you did not have some concept of the spiritual that I'm talking about, I'd sound like a crazy man right now, right? Oh, you're supposed to fix your eyes on what you can't see. That's crazy talk. All I want you to say is remember this. I'm not saying it. I'm just reading what God said. I happen to believe God knows what He's talking about, so I'm going to agree with God. God tells us that this seen material world is temporary. It's what I use the term virtual reality. When you engage with virtual reality, it is set up so that your five senses tell you that what you're experiencing is real, even though it's not real. This world, from God's perspective, is virtual reality. We are given our five senses to interact with it, to experience it, but it's still not the real world. It's not the original world. It's not the eternal world. And everything that exists in this world, in this material world, came first from the invisible world. Do I sound even crazier? Well, let's take a look at it. Hebrews 1, I'm going to read verses 10 through 12 and then jump down to verse 14. It says, He also says, In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish. In other words, this physical world that God created is going to do what? It's going to perish. Oh, that sounds like this material world is temporary. For what is seen is temporary. They will perish, but you, God, you, me, the you is God, but you, God, remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. I didn't put on verse 14. Do I need verse 14? You did? What does it say? Are not all angels... Oh, I don't know why I have that up there. I don't need verse 14. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with verse 14, but... Because the point is that this world, He says He's going to roll them up, okay? It's temporary. He's going to roll them up like a garment. But you, meaning God, remain the same, and your years will never end. In other words, this world is finite. It will end. God is eternal. His world will never end. Look, if something is going to be temporary or something is going to be permanent, where am I better off to put my attention and my effort? In the permanent, in the eternal, amen? Because that's going to be around, that's going to last. And that's what God is telling us. And He tells us this time and time again. Verse 10 says that it tells us that God, in fact, existed before this material world. In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the material foundations of this earth. You were here before it. So we know that he's here before it. Verse 11 says these works that we see in this physical world are the works of his hands. He made it. And verse 12 tells us he'll be here after the works of his hands are gone. So he was here before. He will be here after. He is eternal. That's what we need to remember about God. He is eternally existent. As I've been saying more and more as we go on, we need to keep in mind, remember that we are eternal beings. We are eternal beings. And we're going to see, again, that nothing that exists in this physical world had to first exist in the material or in the spiritual world. Everything in the physical world had to first exist in the spiritual world before it came into being. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So my first point is, God is real. Because he is spirit, and the spirit world is eternal. And that's where God wants us to put our focus. And God is spirit. God is... How many people in the world that you could ask and say, is this pulpit real? And they would answer what? Yes. And then if you ask them if God was real, they might answer no, or I don't know, or whatever. I got news for you. Again, we spend a month or more proving that God's word is true. It's inerrant, and it's inspired, and it's the word of God. And that inspired, inerrant word of God says that God is more real than this. God is spirit. He was before this material world. He'll be after this material world. He is the real deal. How do you like that? God's the real deal. So we need to focus on him. It says God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. If the spiritual world is reality, then God is reality because he is spirit. But he is also truth. God is truth. All truth. Listen to this. This is Randy, but I still think it's important. God is truth. All truth is only true as it relates to God. Because God is true. Something cannot be true if it's not true in God or as it relates to God, because he is truth. It's not that there's something true about God, it's that he is truth. Amen? He is the basis of all truth. If it's outside of God or God's will or God's ways or God's plan, then it's not true. Truth is not only a fact, but it is true that it is God created. Let me try this again. Truth is not only fact, but it is true in that it is as God created it to be and as he created it to operate. So I can say something that is fact, but that's not really the type of truth that it's talking about, right? I can say there's men, there's more than one. Men in here with gray beards. That is a fact, but that's not the kind of truth that the Bible is talking about. Something is true because it does what God says it's supposed to do, and it operates the way God says it's supposed to operate. Let me give you an example of truth. Now, you might not think of this as true when you first read it, but if you think about the fact that truth is about it does what God says it's supposed to do, that's truth. Luke 6, verses 37 and 38. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and it will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's truth. It's not a fact to say there are men in here with gray beards. It's truth. If you do this, then this will happen. That's what God is talking about when he talks about truth. If you forgive, there's another aspect, there's a reciprocity to it. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you condemn, you will be condemned. If you give, it will be given back to you. There's an action and a reaction. Because what you're doing is true. You reap what you sow. That's different than stating a true fact, okay? There's no reciprocal to there are men with gray beards, okay? But what does that produce? It doesn't produce anything. It's just an observation. Do you understand what I mean about truth? So God is spirit and he is truth. Well, what's going to benefit me more? Just a simple fact or real truth? That if I live the way God says to live, then there will be a response or a consequence based on how I live. That's what we all want, right? We want godly outcomes. The truth is if I do godly things, I will receive godly outcomes. That's true. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So we see God is one, as we said, eternal. He was here before this creation. He'll be here after this creation. He is not natural. He is immortal. He's not like us. And he is what? Invisible. So if I focus on what is not seen, I focus on God. He is invisible. He is real. He is true. He is eternal. That's where my focus to be. God always has existed, and he always will exist. God is not mortal. He's not like us. And God is not someone that we can see with our human eyes. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. What's the best way to fix your eyes on God? What? Thank you. Somebody, the front row gets it. Right here, right? This is the best way I can know to focus on God, because I call the Bible, and I don't know if this is really a proper way of saying it, but I think it's correct and helpful. The Bible is God's revealed will, okay? Because what did he do? He revealed it to us. He gave it to man, and they wrote it down. He gave it to man by his spirit, because he is spirit, and he is truth. And so he gave it to man as they were led by his spirit and they wrote it down. He revealed this will to us. Now, I believe there's also God's perfect will, which sometimes I can't find chapter and verse for. And he can exercise his perfect providential will and I may not understand it. But as far as God's revealed will, I can open up his word and I can know it. So if I want to see an invisible God, the best, most readily available way to do that is by his word. We fix our eyes on him. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So we have God's invisible qualities, right? Because God is invisible, but his qualities are made known to us. Paul is telling the Romans that God has taken his invisible nature and revealed it to our human eye in his creation. Isn't that what it says? "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made." So one way we can see God's invisible nature is in his creation with our human material eyes. But we don't want to look at the tree. We want to look at the God that created it. How did God speak this into existence? How did God create this? I mean, we look at a human being and we know that person. But to see God's invisible qualities is to think about the complexity of the person and how we're created. I mean, there's things about the human body, mind, and all of this, you know, internal workings of our bodies that, for all that science wants to, you know, try to tell us how much they know, they can't explain. And certainly, how did this happen? Where did we come from? That's the invisible God. We should look at human beings, and regardless of what they physically look like or their personality or their talents or their gifts or whatever they have, and just recognize that that is a divine creation. Because we can't do that. And we can't explain it. So God wants to be known. I mean, maybe that's where I should sum this passage up. God wants to be known. And as hard as it is for us fallen human beings to look into the spiritual realm and see God, he says, okay, well then look at my creation. My nature, my character is revealed in creation. He wants us to be able to see it. God has made the invisible visible in his creation. So God is reality. God is spirit and truth. He is what's real. Number two, Jesus is real. Jesus is reality. Colossians 2, 8, and then I'm going to jump to verse 17. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Verse 17, these, meaning the human, the philosophies human traditions, these are shadows of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The reality is found in Christ. Reality, God is real, right? Spirit and truth. Jesus is real. The reality of God is found in Christ. Jesus is reality. We must always guard against our hollow and deceptive philosophies that depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. Because the basic principles of this world would tell us things that are opposite than Christ would tell us. Amen? Jesus taught that if you want to be great, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be a servant, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then do what? Serve. What would the world tell you? Take control, right? Be aggressive, be assertive. Jesus said, if you want to receive, give. The world says, if you want to get a bunch of stuff, then take it. And hang on to it and get more. Jesus is the reality. Because remember, truth is what God says. If you do this, you'll get this. So we can't depend on the philosophies and the traditions of this world. We have to focus on Christ. Again, that's proactive because the world is always going to be telling us something different. Let's go to a third point. Go to Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. So we have God is real, Jesus is real. Those are reality. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made from what was visible. Did you let that sink in? What is seen, what we can see, did not come from something that was already visible. It came from the invisible. It had to exist in the invisible or the spiritual realm before it could exist in the material realm, in the seen realm. That becomes critically important here in a few minutes. I don't know that I can give you a verse that, simple verse that proves this, but I believe, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Please go study it out on your own, all right? But I believe that the Bible as a whole teaches us that everything that exists in this physical world has to first exist in the spiritual realm. It can't exist here before it exists in the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is eternal, so think about that if you want your mind blown. The word made, about God making this universe, means to come into existence. It didn't exist before, it comes into existence. And it comes into existence because God's spoken into existence from the invisible realm. The reality of the invisible is made into the virtual reality of the visible. That's what's really strange. The invisible is reality. The virtual reality is the visible. So God makes it from the spiritual, the invisible, into this physical world. And faith allows us to see it in the invisible first. Wow, this is going to be, allow me a few minutes here, okay? Let me read this again. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So God commended the ancient believers for believing in the invisible, for having faith and believing what they couldn't see. He commended them for believing what they could not see. That's the definition of faith. By faith, we understand that the universe, this world, was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made from what was visible. So faith is allowing us to see in the invisible realm before it becomes visible. Maybe you need to write that down and mull that over. Because everything exists in the spiritual realm before it exists in the material realm. Don't you wish you went to a church where they just got up and gave a good old religious sermon? You know, the original pastor that I, Judy and I started attending their church about 6 months after we got married. And then we attended there for about 4 years or so, and then I ended up working there for 4 or 5 years. Pastor Young. Pastor Young used to tell me, he said, Randy, you'll never be able to pastor a large church because your teaching makes people too accountable. So good for you. You're here to be accountable to higher things rather than just I don't preach dusty old religious stuff, okay? I'm telling you, though, what this says. The spiritual realm is eternal. Everything has to exist there before it exists here in the material. Are we good with that so far? So what Paul, I believe it's Paul, but I can't prove that. But the writer of Hebrews is saying there in verse chapter 11 is that faith says, oh, I can see it existing in the spiritual realm before it exists here in the material realm. I can see it by faith, even though it's not yet happening in the physical realm. I still believe it, because I believe that it exists in the spiritual realm. Are we good with that? That's what it's saying. I don't want to go home this Sunday and be kicking myself again that I failed to communicate that. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and 11 for a couple verses down. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. In other words, Abraham was old, Sarah was barren, but God, in the spiritual realm, already had Isaac. Isaac already existed. Faith, when God told Abraham that he'd have a son, and that he'd be the father of nations, Abraham and Sarah, I don't know about Sarah, but it tells us about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and I guess in that manner, he believed that this son, he didn't know him as Isaac, I guess, but this child that would come already existed, even though he couldn't see him. He already existed in this invisible realm, in the spiritual realm. And by faith, because he believed God, it came to pass in the physical realm. You have to, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but take it up with God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, all right? Now, there's a reason that Abraham didn't just believe God out of nowhere. Abraham didn't just start believing for a child out of thin air. He believed God because God promised it. And so the Bible is full of promises. You can go out and buy a book that has just the promises of the Bible in it. And it makes it much simpler to just do it that way. But the Bible is full of promises. But every one of those promises, if God promised them, then what can I do? I can have faith for them because I know that they already exist in the spiritual realm. They just have to manifest into the physical realm. Galatians 4:23 says, his son, meaning Isaac, this is Ishmael, by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but the son, Isaac, by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. So God promised it, and he believed for it. 2 Corinthians 1:20, I love this. I have preached on this. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Or the King James, I think, says they are yea and amen. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes because of Christ. Should I preach that sermon next week? Could I preach a repeat? Because I love that message. They are yes because of Jesus, no matter how many he has made. I want to go on down in Hebrews 11 to verses 25 through 27. He chose to be mistreated, speaking of Moses, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses could have looked at the material world and said, it's a good thing to be the Pharaoh's son or grandson, I guess it would be. It's good to be living in the Pharaoh's house. Look at all I've got in the material realm. But what does it say? He forsook that and did what? He went and he followed God and did what God wanted him to instead because he could see him who was invisible, as opposed to the Pharaoh's palace, which was visible. He believed God, and he followed God, because he could see the one who was invisible. Again, am I making this up? I'm just reading to you what the Bible says, right? He left for Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was or is invisible. Amazing. He saw what he really saw looking forward is he saw Jesus. He saw his promised Messiah. He saw his Savior, who was not manifested yet into this physical world at the time of Moses. This is pre-incarnation of Jesus. But Moses, by faith, could already see in the spiritual realm that the Messiah, the promised Savior, was coming. And he believed it. That's called faith. He saw what he couldn't, he believed. And had faith for what he could not see. And it was more real to him than the king or Pharaoh's palace. And so he followed that. Now, point four, where I'm going to head with all this. This is why it's so important. Why is it so important to live our lives looking into the invisible, seeing the invisible, having faith for what God has already promised in the invisible? Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What did Jesus say? When you pray, pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, when we pray, Jesus told them to pray the things that exist in the spiritual realm and pray that they come to a pass in the physical realm. He's saying that, am I wrong? Am I misunderstanding this? He's telling them to pray what's going on in the spiritual realm and see to it that it manifests in the visible realm. Thy kingdom come. God, do your will. Do the will that you're doing in heaven, in the spiritual realm. Do it here on earth. That's what all these banners that were up on the wall were all about. One of them was this passage. Those were, I don't know what you thought of them as. I thought of them as prayer banners because they were all things that we could literally pray scripture. And this is one of them. This is everything that I'm talking about kind of culminates in this, that the reality of what's going on in the universe is taking place in the spiritual unseen realm. And we want it to say, God at some point is going to manifest it here. And by faith, we see it in advance. We pray accordingly. So let me wrap this up. The question is, would you rather live in the virtual reality, this imperfect material world, or would you rather live in reality? I'd rather live in reality. Doesn't do me any good to live in a false reality, right? I want to live in reality. I want to live in the eternal world. I want to live in the world where God has already determined what he wants to happen, where God is controlling everything. So my last point is that faith causes us to live in reality. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That's where our focus should be, that we are headed towards an eternity with the Lord. We are headed towards an eternity in reality, but we temporarily live in this virtual reality. But what is real is yet to come. Maybe I can say it this way. We're not currently living in reality. This world that we're living in and this physical life that we're living is not, we're not yet living in the real. We're living in the virtual. What is to come in eternity is real. And that's what we're all shooting for. That's where our focus should be. Now, as we engage with God's Spirit and in this world right now, we bump up against, we rub up against, we come into contact with reality as we come into contact with God's Spirit in this world. But the material lives that we live, I'm not saying ignore the material. We have to function in this world. But our focus and our goal is in the eternal. Because that's the real world that God created for us. I say this, you know, if you've heard me do funerals, I say this a lot. The purpose that God created man was what? To give us his love. Because God is love. But it does no good for God to be love if there's no one to love. So what did he do? He created us. Think about that. Think about, man, put that somewhere that you see it. God created me so that he could love me. That's mind-blowing. He wants mankind to be with him forever. We stepped away. We fell from that through our disobedience. But God has been working ever since through Jesus Christ to restore us back to that eternal place with him forever. In reality, in the spiritual realm, in heaven, in glory, however you want to call it. The streets of gold, the pearly gates. That's reality. That's where we are headed back. So we live by faith, because faith does what? It allows us to see in the spiritual realm what is not yet manifested into the material. We live by faith, not by sight. And we're confident. We prefer to be away from this material body and at home with the Lord, because that's where we've always been created to be with. That's where we were always created to be. That was God's plan when he created mankind. Because he wants to love us, he created beings that he could have a loving relationship with. And that's us. And he wants to do that. He wants to do it forever. When we live eternally, we live in reality. We live with the Lord. We live with God, not in this world. Not that we can't function in this world. Not that we shouldn't follow the Lord in this world. Not that we should not do the best we can in this world. But our focus should be on and understand that where we're headed after this material world is the real world. So, what is real? God is real. Jesus is real. The spiritual world is real. And that's what God has for us. So this does not come easy. This doesn't happen naturally. You have to work at thinking like this because the world is always telling us something different. Amen? Again, the material world is right in front of these material physical eyes all the time. But we have to always remind ourselves this, I live in it, I function in it, I do my best in it, but it's not the ultimate. It's not the real world that God has planned for us in eternity. What's real?